back to Success Made to Last. This is our songwriter series. I'm Rick Tokini. Our very special guest today is up-and-coming country western singer Paige King Johnson, and she's got a great song called Water Down the Whiskey. Paige, welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, you bet. Hey, take a few minutes and tell us about your background and how did you get into the music industry?
Yeah, well, I'm originally from a small town in North Carolina called Anger, and was born and raised. I've lived here my entire life. And with all this kind of new situation that we're in, I've been able to spend a lot more time back here, which has been really nice. But I started playing music whenever I was a little girl. I grew up in church and playing music there and singing, honestly, whenever people would listen to me, as a lot of people, I feel like, got their musical start that way. And so, you know, from the beginning, whenever I was little, I was always kind of intrigued by music. And then I got started in piano lessons whenever I was about 7 years old. My older sister was doing those, and so I wanted to be just like her. And then whenever I turned 10, my granddad actually bought me my first guitar ever for Christmas that year, and I was so excited. He saw how much I enjoyed music and loved it, and he thought, well, what happens if we put a guitar in this little girl's hands and kind of see where she goes? And so I got a guitar for Christmas that year, and he really pushed me to get into lessons and really take it. And that following Easter, my granddad actually passed away. And I took that as a sign that I needed to take this music thing seriously and kind of see where it would go. So I really put my head down and went all into music that year. And I absolutely fell in love with it. I fell in love with performing. I fell in love with, you know, playing guitar and learning new instruments and everything. And it kind of, I tell people that's when I caught the music bug, as I say. And from then on, you know, music has just always kind of been part of me and something that I could never turn off or get away from. And after I graduated from high school, and I knew that country music was in my blood and it's what I wanted to do, and there was nothing else that was going to make me as happy as it could. And so I moved to Nashville. And just kind of, you know, try to take it to the next level as much as I could, and really started on working on my own music and getting it out. And it's brought me here, and I'm so very grateful for it. It's a long, long journey, and there's a lot in between that I didn't cover, but, you know, I'm very appreciative of every stop on the way.
Man, that's a wonderful journey so far. And there's a couple of songs that we want to talk about today and dissect. Let's start with this one. Tell us what it means within the song, I'm seeing the signs that you've been sending.
Well, this whole song, I tell everybody it's my sassy girl song, and it's about if you've been in a relationship and you kind of can see the little signs of the person fading away, you know, their love is fading away. And so that line was definitely, it was the first one where we were trying to paint this picture of it. There's obvious markers in this relationship that the other person on the other end of the relationship is not as invested in it and is not, you know, really giving it their all anymore. And they're kind of just checked out. And so, I think everybody has been in a situation where they have got those little signs, you know, whether it's they're not calling you as much, or they're not saying I love you, or they're not spending as much time with you, or whatever that may be in your scenario. And it's a very sad situation to be in, but I think it's something that everybody's gone through.
Well, that's why those songs are so relatable. So what does Pour It On Strong mean?
Well, you know, the whole chorus is talking about, you know, there's nothing about a breakup is fun. Nothing about a breakup is easy. Nothing about a breakup feels good to either person in the relationship. And so But nobody wants a half-hearted breakup, you know, that isn't very clear, or it doesn't give anybody any sort of, you know, feelings of, okay, this is done and let's move on. And so in a breakup, if you're going to break up with someone, I think you just need to go ahead and do it, and do it wholeheartedly, and own what you're doing, and, you know, do pour it on strong. I mean, there's the metaphor between, you know, the sting of whiskey and the sting of a breakup. And I think that that is one of the, you know, it's a very strong feeling, either one that you're dealing with.
Exactly. Exactly. This whole song is a great metaphor for trying to disguise true feelings and kind of dilute the relationship that's no longer as strong as it used to be. And why did you choose whiskey as that kind of the key symbol for the dilution of a relationship?
I think, well, A, whiskey is, you know, a common theme in a lot of country music. And so I think
it was
probably more of a, an osmosis situation, because I have listened to country music my entire life. But, you know, like we were talking about, I really do feel that, you know, I'm not a huge whiskey drinker, so I can't sit here and tell you and say this with a lot of confidence. But, you know, it is a very strong thing, and it's something that is, you know, usually taken straight, and it packs a lot of punch with what it has. And I think that that was a perfect metaphor for, you know, what this song and what the story is now.
I do too. Do you always write out of your own biography? And if that's the case, this line, "The difference in how you kiss me goodnight," is that something that occurred in your own biography?
Not necessarily. I mean, I am always pulling from past experiences. I think all of us songwriters are, but the beauty in songwriting is that you get to take what you have experienced, or what you hear from other people around you, or what you see in a movie, or whatever it may be, and you get to embellish it to whatever kind of story that you want it to be. In this situation, I think everybody has been through a bad breakup or two, and not necessarily that exact situation, but I think we've all been in those same shoes.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I, you know, if you take Paige King Johnson's song, "Water Down the Whiskey," literally, it may be a positive to get your breakup done before you get married, and then you have a really bad breakup that ends in a divorce.
This is true. I guess that could be one lighthearted side of this.
Well, speaking of lighthearted, in your YouTube, my wife wants to know, where the heck did you buy those big, beautiful earrings?
Those were actually from a local boutique in Nashville. The name of it is called Posh. And they were very, very generous to lend me those earrings for that video shoot. And I loved them, but they were a little heavy. So just let her know. It takes a lot of, you get a little workout having to carry
a little ear power. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You bet. And what's the story behind that red convertible in the YouTube?
It was actually a friend of a friend's car in Nashville as well. And, they pulled up, and my friend texted me and she said, "Hey, I've got a friend who has a cool car that, you know, he thought might look good in pictures. And he said that we could use it for the day if you wanted to, no pressure either way." And I was like, okay, this, you know, this might be cool. And she pulled up in it, and I was like, what? This is everybody's dream car, and I get to use it for the day. This is amazing.
Yeah, that's cool. And juxtaposed against that video is one called "On Home." It's about home, and it's understaged and underproduced, but it's got this really cool dude to your right playing mandolin and this girl to your left harmonizing and looking at you in the face like, "I hope we can harmonize together." Who were the two people in the video "Home"?
They are two of my very best friends. The guy playing mandolin, his name is Van Isaacson, and he is one of the best musicians I've ever met in my lifetime. He is originally from Wisconsin, but lived in Chicago up until a couple of months ago. He actually moved to Nashville, which I'm so very grateful for. But he is just absolutely insane. He can play anything with strings on it, which is very annoying at times because you just want to look at him and wring his neck. And then, but the other lady, she is my best friend. Her name is Allison Mahal, and she's a great independent artist as well in Nashville. And we were actually college roommates in Nashville. Wow. And she's from Chicago as well. And so that was kind of how I got introduced to Van, was through her. And we went out on tour that following summer after we shot that video. And we still play shows together all the time. I love them.
And in your song, Home, tell us what this line means. Every boy and girl is looking for something to hold on to. What exactly does that mean to you?
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I wrote that song, I mean, that's probably been 3 years ago now that I wrote that song. And, you know, I honestly don't even remember exactly what the bad situation was that was going on whenever I did write it. But I think even now it holds just as true, because in all this, you know, self-isolation that we've had, my heart, you know, I complain about being stuck at home and not being able to do anything, but my heart truly does go out to all the kids who are having this time at home, who don't really have the best home life, and who really are just looking for some kind of hope, some gleam of, you know, light at the end of the tunnel to try to hold on to get them through every single day. And I can only imagine, you know, people out in this world who do not have as good of, you know, family situations as I do, and they're just searching for something.
Yeah, it's become the real test. During the pandemic, have you been able to write some new songs to reflect the version, best version of Paige King Johnson for 2020?
I have been doing a lot of writing, actually. I'm very grateful for this kind of downtime off the road, although it hurts my heart every single day because that is one of my favorite parts of this job. But being still and in one place for a long time has given me plenty of space to think and write. And I've been doing a lot of Zoom writing and Facebook or FaceTime writing. And I've had a few really good songs that I love come out of all of that over the past 8 or 9 weeks or so. So I have high hopes for new music coming out soon, because it's definitely some of my favorite stuff that I've done so far.
Excellent. Let's talk about advice that you can give to young songwriters. And I'd love for you to opine about the core values of a North Carolinian, knowing that I had lived in Raleigh at one time, and I had to eat that strange vinegar-based barbecue of North Carolina, and I'm still alive to talk about it today. I want to know about why young songwriters should tap into their core values to write their best version lyrics.
Well, I think, you know, the first part about songwriting is you have to be true to yourself and you have to be honest. If you're sitting down and you're trying to write something that your heart isn't in, or that you don't believe in, or that maybe you don't have an experience with to, you know, any level of degree, you don't have to necessarily have lived the exact story that you're trying to write about. But I think that you do have to have some sort of experience, or have somebody else in the room who has had an experience with that, to be able to truly, you know, pull out all of the emotions that you want in that song, to be able to hit however it is, whether it's a party song, whether it's a, you know, a dealing with grief song, whether it's a cheating song, what may. And so I think that's the first thing, is really write your own story, because that's where the most effective songwriting, I believe, is going to come. And really, and that's how you're going to write songs that you're proud of and that you connect with and that you're going to enjoy singing. Because if you can't relate to your own songs in some form or fashion, then they're not going to be fun. And then what are you writing songs for, you know?
Yeah, good point. Good point. Let's talk about songs about grandparents. I'll do a little test here. This will show you the difference of our ages if you get this wrong, but fill in the blank. Grandpa, tell me about the
good old days.
That a girl. That's good. That's the old Judd song, and I want to know why, or have you already written a song about your granddad who bought you your first guitar at 10 years old?
I actually have a song that I have been working on for, oh my goodness, it's probably been 7 or 8 months now, and I think it's taken me so long because, A, I feel like it's so personal that I just need to write it on my own, just for self-satisfaction and to really feel how close, because it is a big thing to open up about. And secondly, because it is about him and because he gave so much into me and really was the big push that got me where I am today, I feel like I need to do him justice, and I feel like it really needs to be a good song. And, you know, on top of the guitar that he gave me, I also, whenever I turned 16, I was driving his truck from when he was still alive and he used to drive around. And so the song is about, you know, the emotions that come from that. And whenever I came back home to North Carolina recently, I got in that truck for the first time in a few years, and it immediately brought back a lot of memories. And that's kind of where the song idea started flowing, and I've, you know, continued going back to it and trying to really get it right. And I think songs like that, they just take time, and you have to kind of get in that headspace to be able to really get it out. And who knows if I'll ever consider it finished, you know, I'll probably continue to go back and tweak it for many years, but it holds a special place to my heart. And I do hope that I can finish it to where I feel like it does injustice so that I can play it for other people.
You've accomplished so much in a short period of time. And there's, I bet you listening to this show today are 250,000 people that want to break into Nashville. Can you imagine 250,000 cars streaming into Nashville, all wanting to be Paige King Johnson? So what advice would you give them other than turn around and go home?
You know, before all of this craziness, yes, I would have said that, just because Nashville cannot hold 250,000 more cars.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, I think the biggest thing is, and I feel like Nashville and the music industry in general already has a, you know, a natural weeding out process of people who really are there because they cannot do anything else but music, and people who are there just because they think that it'd be fun, or they think it'd be cute, or because somebody else told them that they needed to. And so my biggest thing is, you know, anybody who's planning on, you know, pursuing music as a career is one thing, but uprooting everything and moving to a new city, especially to a city like Nashville, where it is labeled as a music city, and there's so much going on there, is that, you know, you got to make sure your heart's in it, and you got to make sure that there's nothing else in this world that you could do that would make you as happy as playing music or writing music or, you know, making music. And so, that is the biggest thing, because with this career comes a lot of sacrifice. You know, I had to move away from my family and my boyfriend, and I had to move away from the only house that I've ever lived in for 18 years and go to a huge city. I'd never lived in a city before, and, you know, being away from home, you miss birthdays and anniversaries and, you know, family trips and weddings and everything. And so, and then you're out on the road and you're missing everything in Nashville. And so there's a lot to be said that comes with all this. And so you really have to make sure that your heart and your soul are in 100%, because that is what's going to fill all those other gaps that are being made with all the sacrifices that you're having to do.
So it's all about tenacity with this forward vision and knowing that hard work and sacrifice are going to make it all worthwhile.
And it is. For me, it absolutely is.
Well, it's been a delight to talk with you today, and tell our listeners where they can find out more about you, listen to all your music, buy your music, and enjoy the one and only Paige King Johnson.
Well, right now, my single, Water Down the Whiskey, is out on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play. There's a million places. Wherever you listen to music, I'm sure it is there. If they're like me and they like physical stuff, I also have CDs. My first ever EP that has Water Down the Whiskey and three other songs on it is available, and they can be ordered through my Facebook page. They can just shoot me a message and let me know, and I will mail them to them. But and my Facebook page, Instagram, YouTube, all that kind of stuff is just under Paige King Johnson. And I tend to think that I'm a very funny person and I like to share funny things, so it's worth it to go and follow me on there.
Well, Paige, keep pouring it on strong, as you wrote. We appreciate you being on today's Songwriter Series, and best of luck. Let's keep in touch, and the next time you write the next big hit, you can count on us to dissect it with you, so be careful what you write.
Well, you know what? I will absolutely keep that in mind, and I so greatly appreciate it.
Well, Paige, thank you so much for being on our Songwriter Series today. You are delightful. We hope to have you back on again. That was Paige King Johnson. We appreciate her being on our series, and we also thank our sponsors, Edward Jones Financial Advisors and Graceful Years Greeting Cards, home of the Church Kitchen Ladies. I'm Rick Tocchini. As we always say, may you live the best version of you. Have a great week. So thanks to our sponsor, Edward Jones. They are our trusted financial advisor. And Edward Jones has been instrumental in helping us pivot our lives, built around health, happiness, travel, and adding value to other people's lives. You can contact our advisor, Serban Marasini, by emailing him at serban.marasine@edwardjones.com. And thanks again to their sponsorship of this program. And thanks to our sponsor, Gracefully Yours Greeting Cards, and their hilarious Church Kitchen Lady cards. Church Kitchen Ladies are a bunch of maybe 20 million volunteers across the United States that work in 300,000 churches, and they say stuff like, mind your own biscuits and life will be gravy. They also say, crunch tacos, not abs. And psst, you're crazy is showing, you might want to tuck that back in. And one of our favorites is, life is short, lick the bowl. If you want to find out more about the wonderful Church Kitchen Ladies and join their roundtable, go to gracefully-yours.com today and find out about Church Kitchen Ladies and purchase all the rest of the fine Gracefully Yours greeting cards.